with angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and saber canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that breathe, but now they only block the sun.
There you go. I mean, isn't that a beauty? This kind of stuff has been going on above our heads for years now, on a daily basis, all over the U.S. and Canada, and other countries too. And they try and tell us. It's condensation trails. Condensation trails. And the media has not really even talked about this. Hippocrates. See those statues in ancient Greece with. Where the word comes from. All the Masons think when they say, well, kind of a weird looking thing up there, that odd looking trail that is left, it's spreading like a cloud, isn't it? It's not going away. How could it be? Well, maybe it's those reptilian people. What do you think? Maybe it was a UFO. Not looking like a plane to me. That's exactly what it was. The couple open the sky treaty, and you'll find out the trail behind the trails.
There are some movies that you should look into, which give a good idea into how the system operates. One of them is called Erik the Viking, and it's a comedy. And as always, comedies can show a lot more reality and get away with it than any other kind of movie. And you'll see in there there's the Viking mentality and how they view the real life with rape, pillage and plunder and so on. And Erik, this particular Viking, wants to find a different way. He gets he's a bit fed up with this monotonous lifestyle. And there's also a little village they have for the Vikings with a priest there who's come for converts. And he's never made a single convert the whole time he's been there. So they go off on a journey to find Valhalla, and it's amazing how the priest's perceptions of reality differ from the others, and because of that he doesn't see things which the Vikings see. What you've been taught to believe in will shape your perceptions and will actually alter the information into an acceptable form that suits yourself. And this movie goes through that type of thing. It also comes to a land where people are utopians. They believe that as long as everybody's happy, no one kills anybody else, then they'll live forever, and they do, until the Vikings came there by accident. And at the end, because someone's blood was spilled, the island starts to shrink, and all the utopians are going down in the middle in total denial, wanting to believe that this can't happen, it mustn't happen, it's impossible to happen, even though it's happening. And that's how this whole world is today, as we go down and it changes. The optimists, the eternal optimists, cannot see the changes. They must think there's something good at the end of the rainbow here, and that's called denial. Our optimism can be used against us for the ones who implement nasty agendas. That's one good movie to see. Another one to see is by the Monty Python crew. To do with a future society run by bureaucracies. It's called hold it a second. Another good movie to watch is the movie called Brazil. Brazil, again set in a sort of comedy type fashion. It's about a near future society where the World Corporation runs everything, and the biggest building in this endless city is a huge fortress pyramid type thing, and that's the Department of Information, because for total control over a society you have to know what everyone's doing all the time. That's why we're going to be tracked and monitored all over the place. And in Brazil, and Robert De Niro's recent appearance in it as well, there are forms for everything, bureaucratic forms, and whole layers of bureaucracies to go through that run this whole incredible system. And as the system is always understood, both at the top is always understood, you need an enemy to keep yourself in power. And the Soviets knew this. When they ran out of enemies, they created terrorists everywhere. They had to be terrorists. You could be one yourself and didn't know it. So you got these terrorists going around blowing up things, but no one ever sees a terrorist. The bombs just explode in restaurants and places, and it's so common that people kind of ignore it unless you happen to be in the blast. But no one sees a terrorist ever in the whole movie. And there's only one character in it that keeps asking the question to everybody, have you ever actually seen a terrorist? And well, no, nobody ever has. That's an excellent movie to see, with tremendous insight into the system that's pretty well underway here now. They use ancient truths, eternal truths, and put them into comedies. We've been shown the world by George Orwell, and in the movie 1984, the black and white version that was made in Britain to commemorate the book 1948 when it came out, is a tremendous portrayal of how, again, the system operates, right down to the black helicopters that we've been watching through from the air, and the high types of levels of bureaucracy, the fake patriot movements, because the fake patriot movements are run by the same guys at the top. That's why they never lose control. They give you leaders to follow, and then they torture you in the Department of Love. Using the use of terminology, you can alter perceptions of new events by simple uses of changes in wording. The Ministry of Love is where they torture you, in room 101, and they find your deepest fear and exploit it. is the system we're now living in, and I'm still getting sprayed here too. Nice rainbows around the sun. But it's an excellent movie to see. Those who've read Animal Farm will understand at the end, those that led the animals are in cahoots with the people, the humans, and they have all the animals working for nothing. And it's a parody on the merging of capitalism with communism. In the capitalists say, you've done such a good job, you communists, because we've been trying to get the people to work for nothing forever. And that's at the end of the book. You should read it. It's a third way. This is the merger of the two systems, and that's what they were set off to do in the first place. Capitalism was funded from the beginning by the West, and fed by the West through its whole existence. They said it was going to be the Cold War was going to be won on science. It's a battle of science and technology. I used to grow up reading the papers of these annual scientific meetings held in Moscow, where all the West top scientists would go over there and talk to their buddies in the Soviet Union. And I thought, well, obviously, if it's going to be a war on science and technology, you would never, ever allow your top scientists to mix with your supposed enemy scientists. There's a bit of a giveaway there. It was all a con from the beginning. It was a tremendous con, because under the guise of a possible Cold War and a threat from over there, they could tax the people to incredible lengths, set up vast security systems to be used for other purposes, and put all this money into research and development for means of controlling the populations. That was the real purpose of the Cold War. And to do experimentation on a Soviet system, a controlled society, which they could then improve and implement in a world society. That's what Cold War was really all about. NASA is a big player in this. Again, high organization, 33rd degree Masons all, mandatory. And its job really is nothing to do with finding out what's out there. It's to put up thousands and thousands of various kinds of satellites to control the people down here. That's what its real job is. That's what its real function is. There's the new moon symbol. And it's no coincidence that under Operation Paperclip, they brought out all the Nazi scientists to work in NASA. NASA, or NISA, is also the head of the Sanhedrin. They love these plays on words, these high occult groups. And they do see themselves as a priesthood at the top. They also find these scientists are pretty well interbred with women who have the same qualities as scientists as well for their offspring. Right along, again, like the guidelines that Plato laid down. Plato wasn't advocating something that was just going to happen in the future. He was obviously talking about a system that had been in existence for thousands of years already, the selective breeding. And he, being a member of the aristocracy, truly believed in this, but that's why they class themselves as superior to what he called in the Republic the Its. The Its were the commoners. Selective breeding were the ones who had the offspring who became the new aristocracies in every generation. Plato also talked about the eventual time towards the completion of this republic, this great world republic, where women would be also drafted into the army to fight alongside the men, and eventually they would become a separate class again, not quite a nobility of warriors, but a separate class. class serving the upper aristocracy, and their offspring would then become better warriors generation after generation to keep the people in check. When you take the basic material of man, you realize it's endless what can be done with humanity. And with science unlocking the laws of nature, as they like to couch it in the Rosicrucian books, meaning science, they want to recreate everything that was left imperfect, which was basically humanity itself. They want to perfect it into a more functional economically sound, efficient system, where nothing exists without purpose. Darwin himself, as I say many times, I've told this on the radio, Darwin believed in evolutionism. But his grandfather already put a book out about the same thing, because the Darwinian family, that was their job to put out this kind of information. And they were putting out what they already believed in Masonry. Freemasonry at the top, the higher echelons, believe in reincarnation, and as the spirit evolves, so does the bodies on earth. And they believe that everything came out of the ooze and slime, and they were better slimy guys than other ones. That's why they got to the top. That's basic Hinduism. That's where all of this evolutional stuff comes from, is Hinduism. And that is what, under the guise of science, Darwin was bringing forth into the world to be taught as a fact. This great theory of the high interbred Freemasonry, which is basic Hinduism, and the right of those who've evolved more than the others to rule the lesser. Every law has been implemented in your country, I'm talking about every country, is coming from the same source. The planning for these laws to get put into the books were put on in the books in the same countries at the same times. Each stage, an upgrade of those laws were put in to each country at the same time, which tells you that there never were really sovereign nations. You have a bunch at the top of every nation running the system, all interconnected. All interconnected. The building codes for the entire country are coming from the United Nations, from your plumbing, your electrical, your septic tanks, everything, your water. All resources have to be owned by the few, and the United Nations just fronts for the big boys behind it. Just fronts for them. No one votes for the United Nations. The public don't vote. The bureaucracies within the United Nations are the outcomes of their own schools. They breed their own there, and they become the next generation of bureaucrats. And they go through a special training, and they don't talk about democracy to the people, or about the people. They're taught to be little Hitlers. And they're very arrogant because they believe they are superior. They're taught that from this high. You're superior. Their job is to rule the people. And meanwhile, they've got everybody else's armies going off to fight these global wars to bring the same system worldwide and finish off the Muslims and get the central banking in. Get UNESCO in with its educational system, bring in the strip clubs and prostitution and drugs, and the debt system, and then pay in your own politicians. And then we've got a nice standardized world of corruption, as above, so below, because the guys at the top, they control and own the legal system above, and all that goes with it, and they control that below, which is the illegal system, the underworld. Both sides, they control. prince getting too quiet, they create some commotion in the underworld. Oh, there's too much drugs, there's too much violence, there's too much this, that, the other. We need more police, blah, blah, blah. And bingo, they get their money for it, and then it quietens down again. Police are internal armies, whose job it is to prevent crime, supposedly. How do you prevent crime? Since the American Psychological Association has said many times that everyone's capable of crime. It should be obvious to you then that the reason for it is that the American Psychological Association knows you'll have to eliminate the possibility of crime. Looking to genetics and heritage, etc. This is a big thing with them for years, because they want to decide who's going to get born, who won't get born, because you might have this trait in you, this particular trait that your great-granddad had. And they mean business. The police, to stop crime, will have to be able to monitor everybody for every second of every day. You have to be predictable in a totalitarian society. Everybody must be 100% predictable at all times. That means no freedom, no privacy, no private thoughts, and that's how they'll have the peace and safety for the elite at the top. Karl Marx, since he really was taught by the bankers, he was so insignificant, his name wasn't even on the Communist Manifesto for years. He was a little petty journalist. But he took his instructions from the bankers who founded communism, the antithesis. And he said that every society in civilization, if you understand what civilization is, the beginning of money and taxation, giving rise to an elite class who don't have to work and plan and think of things. He said that every society and civilization had been founded on an economic system. And in his world, of course, of an economic system, it took into the fact that most folk are slaves. Charles Galton Darwin in the 1950s, in his book, The Next Million Years, says the same thing on behalf of the elite. He says slavery has always existed in one form or another, and we, meaning the elite of his day, the establishment as they call it in England, he says we are creating a more sophisticated form of slavery. What is a sophisticated form of slavery? It's a form where the people don't know they're slaves. They think they're free. That way they don't have to have so many guards guarding over you while you toil. They train you to think you're free. They train you to feed yourself, clothe yourself, do your own shopping for your own clothes and so on, and buy your own work boots, and even a vehicle to get to work and from work, and also pay for the infrastructure to get you all back and forth in these huge freeway tunnel systems that take you back and forth to where you work. It's a more sophisticated form of slavery, wage slavery. They've done this in laboratories, do it over and over again, where they train rats to just pull a lever for a seed and they get a reward. And that's what we do. So most of your earning, your labor, is transposed into money, which is then taken back from you in the form of taxation, hidden taxes, overt taxes, income, property, and so on. But you're left enough to play with for your bread and circuses to keep you happy, to reward yourselves for your labor. And that's a sophisticated form of slavery. And you train your own children to be the next generation. You don't tell them, look, son or daughter, there's a lot of coin games going on in this system. And so the children, being mammals, towards the parents, for signs of warning, and if the parents don't know, then the children don't know. they think the system they were born in is natural and is the only one that could possibly exist. That's how simple it is. Train one generation, the rest of them are indoctrinated by the parents. A more sophisticated form of slavery, which is now being updated to the next phase of totalitarianism. And most of the public won't mind having someone to do all their thinking for them, but there's nothing in here for those who don't want to go that way. There's no complaints department here in this system. When the death of the individual occurs, individuality, individualism, when it goes, that's it, you're left with the mass man, who's just a conglomerate of all his downloaded indoctrinations by others. There's no original thought there, no thinking. And of course, there's no threat to those who govern the system. Charles Galton Darwin, interestingly, said that we, the elite, will not alter ourselves. We must retain our ability for self-preservation, whereas the masses won't need it, because the masses will have all their decisions being made for them by the elite, the dominant minority. So what price is this thought worth to you? What price is the enjoyment of thinking for yourself worth to you? If you really look at society today, you'll notice that most people spend every minute of the day, their free time, listening to music, watching movies, watching television, watching stuff produced by professionals who do this as their work. And they get downloaded with all of this stuff because they don't want to sit and do or think about anything by themselves. In a sense, they've already given up the beauty of being able to think for themselves, this wonderful experience of thought and where thought can take you. So many emails come in to me which tell me people's head spaces and how the disinformation's circus of media has affected them, where reality is so mushed up with reptilians and space aliens and even shadow people. Shadow people first came on Art Bell Show years ago, and I don't know if people have looked at the Huxley or downloaded the Huxley interview that's on my website. But in there, he'll tell you what they've always known at the top through all these psychological associations, that people, 60% of the public, are instantly suggestible. That means that you put a thought into their head and it becomes real for them. 20% more of the public need a little bit extra indoctrination or reinforcement, and then they come under. So 80% eventually get under the influence of the suggestion, or a form of hypnosis. You don't need a watch and chain or strobe lights to hypnotize you. A voice can do it. An idea, a big idea, as you say up there, can do it. It grabs the imagination and instills a thought into your head. It's reinforced by authors that are churned out by the grinder in the secret services of every country. And these fictions become solidified in your head. And so we don't see people anymore going into big meetings and signing their rights away. We see reptiles or shadow people or aliens walking in with them. That's if you can get through the plethora of mind control victims or sex slaves and all this kind of stuff. This tabloid media has given us this very carefully constructed, I would call them programming mechanisms put out by big agencies. If you read The Impact of Science on Society by Bertrand Russell, he talked in the 1950s about the necessity to bring in specialists in a particular area of suggestibility. What he's referring to was the big marketing companies like the Madison Avenue ones were the first ones to kick it off, to understand patterns of behavior and how behavior could be influenced by the visual, the auditory, and symbolism. That's how advertising really works. It plays on basic needs, fears, and even necessities, exploits them, and then to sell you a product, an idea, so that you buy this brand over that brand, or whatever. And so they brought them in, like Russell said, they brought in these big companies to work hand in glove with governmental agencies to influence mass populations of people and put them under mind control. And today, it's marketed not as advertising and not even as programs on hypnosis, but under the guise of entertainment, which again is deceptive because it puts itself over as an actual factual program on factual things. I call it the circus creation, where if you want to discredit something and you want to discredit facts and people who've dug up real data with real people who are behind the scenes and when they've signed agreements, quoted their speeches, put laws into effect, etc., you'll find that the counterintelligence will grab this real information. When there's too many people talking about it, they'll grab the information, create superstars, put them in front of the public, boost them to the limits, and television, radio, bookstores galore, international. That's big bucks just to push a campaign like that. And then the superstar grabs all the real data, mixes it in with nonsense, discredits the real information, and so the real information is eventually tossed out with the baby in the bathwater. But you discredit real information by joining it with the absurd. So this is a standard technique which is used. Now, suggestibility on many programs that pretend go into the unknown, the unexplained. Suggestibility is how you put out shadow people. And I could right now, in fact, come up with something and say something to you and present it in a format. And I guarantee you, I get thousands of emails saying that they saw whatever I told them they were going to see. Because 60% are instantly suggestible. 20% will work with a bit more, as Huxley said. It's the same with the health foods and all the herbal remedies. They'll sell you all kinds of weird grass and stuff and call it a different name, and it's going to cure everything under the sun. Gives you an erection, grow your hair back, and all this kind of stuff. It's a miracle cure. 60% will buy it for the extortionate price. If you make it too cheap, they won't buy it. It's another thing marketing companies know. You give it an exotic name and a good price, and people who are suffering will try anything to cure themselves, because there's a tremendous amount of profit and misery in this awful system that we live under, which we pretend is humane. And there's plenty of people ready to exploit the problems of others. So they use the same suggestibility in all these herbal products. Now, herbalism has been used for thousands of years, and up until about 100 years ago, the standard books had everything in the planet which actually did anything and worked. And it had the degrees of how it would work. And it didn't make outlandish statements of cure-alls and all those kind of thing. They were treatments. But since the health food industry has been taken over by the same guys that own the ordinary pharmaceutical agencies, now you're going to la-la land, and they're finding a new cure every day, as long as you pay the bucks, and it's when you find out that it's not working for you, they've got another brand new miracle cure the next day. Suggestibility to the 60% is how they sell that. And people will feel good because they believe in it. Your faith has made you whole, you see. That's what that means. You'll notice in the New Testament, it doesn't say your faith in me, your faith in God, your faith. No, it says your faith has made you whole. You believe it could be done. So for a couple of weeks, the people who take this expensive, exorbitant grass or whatever it happens to be, with a funny fancy name on it, will feel better, and then their old pains and aches come right back again, because the suggestion is wearing off. It's no different from going to the hypnotist if you want to stop smoking. It'll work for a while as long as you're going there. It'll work for maybe a month or two afterwards. The suggestion wears off and you're back to where you were. So 60% are instantly under the spell, with 20% more can be brought under with a bit more reinforcement, as Huxley said. There, dear, just try, just persevere, and you'll find it'll work for you. And as long as she's got reassurance and reassurance and reassurance, she'll come under as well and think it's working for a little while. But 20% can't be easily hypnotized. The problem with today is we're living at a time when incredible sciences are at play. Electronic sciences, the trick of the elect is electric. They always knew that electricity would be used to interfere with brainwave patterns. They always knew that that you could pulse things into the brain, pulse messages, even through HARP technology, you pulse messages into the brain. And HARP can actually come right down to the brainwave frequency patterns, the same hertzes and responses as your brain, so they can interfere with your auditory, your visual, and different, even taste. They can actually make you think you're tasting something by putting those bursts out into your head. And it can be done from any distance, basically. And it can be done from satellite as well. Today we're living under all of this incredible technology, this technotronic era, as Brzezinski called it, where this kind of weaponry would be used on the public on a mass scale for control purposes, and it would keep them happy and dumb and stupid and confused. And perhaps that's why we're seeing all these reptilians and shadow people and space aliens, etc. Science is so far ahead of anything that you would be led to believe if you bought the magazines on the store shelves. Here's the latest stealth fighter. And here's the latest UFO that's built underground in Area 51 and other complexes using advanced technologies. And above that is another stage which even they don't know about. That's how the real world is run. We're kept in the dark. Everything we're given is really obsolete technology. They bring out stories about, well, I guess it was to do with a UFO that smashed, that fell and crashed, and they have to back-engineer all the technology that they found, and that's utter rubbish. That's utter rubbish. We didn't have to back-engineer anything at all. The technology was there. So even when you find a truth, it can be distorted so easily by the spin masters who put you off in a totally different direction of perception and confuse the whole issue and hide the issue. You need an enemy to control the public. John Dewey was the first one to ever mention that if only aliens from another planet would attack us, the whole world would come against them as one to fight it. Internationalism would reign supreme. And this is the whole thing behind UFO. UFO is UFO. They create a foe, UFO, you see. That's what it means. That's why they call it UFO. A foe which will all come against eventually. The jets that are spraying the sky are standard jets, they're military jets. And this whole sky above me right now is just a mush. Some big trails over here. This is not mentioned on the major media whatsoever. They never will mention it. They all know they can't risk their jobs. Nobody's got the guts to risk their jobs and talk about it. They're a bunch of cowards. Even though ultimately it's going to affect them too, and their families. It's amazing how cowardice will make people, it allows them to kill off themselves and their family by a total inaction, thinking, maybe I'll survive through it all. Just maybe I'll survive another day, another week, another month, another year. And so they do nothing. And anyone can see the stuff in the sky any day of the week. This poison that's raining down upon us. This is not done by aliens or reptile people. The reptilian agenda, I've gone through that on my website, how that the thoughts were implanted to make the possibility of the absurd become true through the movies they gave you, like The Enemy Mine, that kind of thing, even going as far back to the old black and white one, The Creature of the from the Black Lagoon. That was really the first one to put it in your head. There was another one called Mars Attack, back in the, maybe the 50s. These awful, these sort of frog-type men that ran about, like, going, whoa, 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 ooh, ooh, ooh. And that really put the thought in your head, too, that there's these reptilian people. But they've been taken for a ride, because, yeah, you got monsters here, all right. They're monsters, but they're in human form. They're psychopaths, there's no doubt whatsoever. There are just as many psychopaths employed as scientists to make all these crazy things that will kill you off. More money goes into finding ways to kill people for military reasons than any money that goes into charities or government to cure people. That's the absurdity of the world that we live in today. The madmen, the deviants rule the world. Only deviants want power over others. The holy ant, divi, divi, ant. Adam Weishaupt, one member of one branch of the Illuminati, in one of the many centuries that they've existed, Adam Weishaupt called it the Bienen Orden, where all their orders came from, the little lodges, the Bienen Orden. The order of the bees, the beehive, is a symbol. And that's what you see on Washington's famous Masonic portrait down his right-hand side. Washington was a member of the same Illuminati. Never mind his speech saying, yes, he knew he was in America. Of course he did, because he was one of them. They officially came out in the open in 1776, the year the Declaration was signed. What I'm saying is, science is behind pretty well all of the things you see. This just discounts the ability of the mind to project things elsewhere. A thought is an important and powerful thing, a form. A thought can truly set the world on fire. Similarly, a thought can dampen the world, it can dampen the spirit of negativity. And we're kept in a stage of depression all the time, and anxiety by media and economists and generals in uniforms and politicians and bankers and etc., which are here to keep us all hopping and anxious, and that way you're easily managed. It's hard to manage people and order them about when it's peaceful. That's why no generation is given peace. The high cabal at the top of this thing understand the power of thought, understand human behavior and mass psychology. It's the individual they fear. Individual thought, individual thinker. The person who thinks outside the box and can communicate it to others, that's the only enemy they have. The rest of them are all shaking hands and making clubs to do with reptilian clubs and things like that. Maybe shadow people put their clubs. The circus for the public. Bread and circuses. You don't discount the real high occult in any of this. Many people have emailed me in some of the higher lodges who are into this kind of stuff. They're into the occult and calling down the spirits and the demons, and they find the names of them, which of course is in the old Aramaic and Hebrew and Kabbalah, etc., pre-exist in Judaism, because the boys behind all of this gave us all religions a long time ago. There's Greek Kabbalah, there's Hebrew Kabbalah, there's the Kabbalah of India. They're all connected, because the same monsters have run the whole planet and every country for many, 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 many thousands of years. Those that have joined some of these societies thinking they learn the secrets are being fooled. You can't penetrate these guys have thousands of years of weeding you out. And when you think you're finding the secrets for power to explain to the public, they're already working on your brain. They own you. Bit by bit, they'll own you. And you'll be terrified of the supernatural, so terrified you will never come out and expose anything. It's very real. The occult is very real. It's tremendously powerful as well. You certainly can project. There are natural powers at work too, natural things that no one wants to touch, especially religions. You can think of someone across their side of the planet, and that person will pick up that you're thinking about them. That's a natural thing. They can't explain it to us, at least on this level of the matrix, the low level here, you see. And science doesn't want to talk about it, and religion wants to stay away from that. It scares them. They don't want you having the natural abilities that you should have, that they should have actually cultivated growing up, that school and all the rest of it drummed out of you. Stop daydreaming. Pay attention. That's how they drummed it out of you. These are natural abilities. These are survival mechanisms. They're communication abilities, where you don't have to sit and talk for hours to people. They know what you need. They know what you're thinking. These are natural abilities. The occult sciences use some of these. But to get power, they go into other extremes. We use women primarily to channel all these entities down. And each one has a name. And depending on the type of power information you want, or deed done, you must get the right name. That's what they do. But they can't switch them off once you start. And these things are real. Perfect possession happens when an entity is perfectly at home in a physical body, and the person's body that used to belong to is perfectly happy with the entity living there. That's called perfect possession. You're seeing perfect possession when you see the Kissingers and the Cheneys and the Blairs and all these people whose job it is to lie to us so that we go off and kill people somewhere on the planet, somewhere else. They do it without conscience. They sleep at night without pills. These are the perfectly possessed. And the higher up they go in the degrees, the higher the entity they take into them. Something that even Christianity doesn't want to touch. Because Christianity has been a great tool for this elite for centuries and centuries. Obey your government. All government is put there by God. Well, why can you blame the Germans for standing up behind Hitler when he told them to? If you really believe it, that all government is put there by God. Or all the communists that stood behind Stalin. Same thing. In other words, any tyrant that's there is ordained there by God. That's your government. No logic here. But you can see where they've hurriedly put these little statements into Christianity and various other holy books to keep the people obedient to the system. And unfortunately, it's worked very, very well. When they send people abroad to evangelize, they're
evangelizing Christianity. They're taking a Western system of banking, suits and ties, the Masonic outfit, the uniform, the one form that's respectable, the briefcase, the debt system and credits and banks. That's what they're taking with them. It's a whole culture they're taking with them. Under the guise of Christianity. But nonsense. When they brought Christianity into the Western, or Europe, to civilize the barbarians, or the tribal people, they were bringing an ancient system in that dominated the ancient world for a long, long time prior to that, under another guise. Same techniques, money, backed by religion, which is the whole damn system. That's what they gave us. And it is obedient, passive slaves, because God's watching you. Government was put there by God, and your function is to serve God and the government and the king and the system, and use this money. That's the con job that's been put on everybody. So no, evangelizing does not go to bring safety to people or a savior to people. It brings a whole culture to the people that has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever, at least the teachings in the New Testament. It's amazing how people do not think or question what they do or what others do. And when you're in a cave, in one of Plato's caves, and your only view is out the hole that you came in, then you will never ever figure out this whole matrix system. You can't be put into a pigeonhole because you're blinded at the back and the sides, top and bottom. You have to be able to see all of it to get a true, clear understanding of everything around you. After this freebie, this free film, I'll be putting out another one on the occult. This one you have to buy because I need the pennies to keep going. That's all for now. Thanks.